I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Always a damn good day when we get to talk to AB on the Gabe Kuhn Show. Again, Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Alan Bell joining the phone line now at AlanBell247 from CBS Sports Digital and from CBS Sports Line. Alan, what's the word, man? How are we?
Man, doing good, brother. You doing all right?
I'm doing fantastic. How have you done on the NCAA tournament so far?
Oh, man, it's hit or miss, dude. You'll have a good day, then you'll have a horrible day. This has been a wild NCAA tournament, and I've loved every minute of it. It's great. It's the only thing that delivers every year.
Now, I'll say here in Memphis, we're a little depressed of what could have been. It could have been Tennessee versus Memphis in the Sweet 16 if it weren't for that lost FAU.
Yeah, that was a tough end of that game as well, man. I was on Memphis, and I don't know how they got jump ball. I mean, that was Memphis's ball, but – we won't delve on that, but I feel for Memphis fans. That was brutal. It was brutal.
Yes. It was brutal. And I think it's even worse, though, like knowing what happened before that game with Purdue getting upset by Fairleigh Dickinson. Like that's what makes it substantially worse. If there was a situation where Purdue got through, I think it would have been a little softer of a landing. It still would have been depressing, but a lot worse considering you had a free ride to the Sweet 16.
That one's tough, dude. It really is, man.
Now, holler at me about Tennessee. Did you expect them to be able to do what they've done so far? Olivier Kamwa was unbelievable against Duke, and they're easily here the Sweet 16, and theoretically, looks like they have a nice ride to the Elite Eight.
Well, no, I didn't, quite honestly, right? Like, I mean, Tennessee's a good basketball team, but I didn't think that they'd be a Sweet 16 team. But you know what? Look what they've done defensively, all right? They're the only team in the tournament that held both of their opponents to 55 points or fewer, and Duke being one of them, right? Like, I mean, their defense has just been on fire. And like you said, you know, they found points when they needed them. You know, if you look at the 16 teams that are remaining, Tennessee's defense is allowing the fewest points through the tournament.
Yep.
And Tennessee's averaging the fewest points scored through the tournament at only, like, 61. So, yeah, man, like, you know, at some point you're going to have to score, but, dude, defense travels.
Yep, and honestly, they found a way. Like, Olivier Kamwa, what he did, 27 points, super efficient from the field. Like, if they can get that from some other piece every single night out, who knows? Who knows? And I always said with this team, it's, you know, Elite Eight ceiling, and the floor was losing in the first round, but they've already beaten that floor. So we'll see what happens. Now, with the Sweet 16, tell me about a couple of underdogs that you're looking at pretty closely.
Yeah, so, okay, look, I think that, you know, if you look at Arkansas, I mean, they could play with anybody. Now, them against UConn is probably playing the most efficient basketball in the tournament right now. So, I mean, that's going to be a rock fight, but, you know, Arkansas can get the job done for sure. You know, like, that's the difficult part is that you look across, like, you know, upset. I mean, FAU could beat Tennessee. Like, that could absolutely happen. You know what I mean? Like, you know, FAU is an excellent basketball team. Then you're kind of getting down to, like, one and a half point favorite. So, like, you know, UCLA is a 1.5 point favorite on Gonzaga. Like, Gonzaga could win that game. You know what I mean? But it's like, I wouldn't really call it an upset. You know, and then you look at, like, the bigger spreads here. You know, like Alabama and San Diego State, I don't think that's going to happen. I will say this. Let me retract. The upset to look for is Miami over Houston.
That's the one I'd look at, too.
Yeah, Miami can score on anybody at any time. They don't play a lot of defense, but they can score. And here's the other thing. Miami will own you on the glass. Like, they rebound hard, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And if Houston plays a slow game, they're not scoring, Miami is, and Miami's owning the glass with rebounds, buddy, look out. Yeah, I would say that would be the pick.
We have a big spread. We do have a big spread out there because a 15 seed upset a 7 seed in the second round, Princeton over Mizzou. We have Princeton versus Creighton. And believe it or not, I believe this is the first 15-6 matchup that has ever transpired in the Sweet 16. So there is that. But 10-point favorites, Creighton is. They've been playing really well. Ryan Kalkbrenner's been fantastic. Nembhard's been fantastic. Do you think Princeton can sort of catch lightning in the bottle, at least keep this game close? That'll be a Friday at 8.
Yeah, I mean, you know, keep it close for sure because we've seen so many unders that have hit. But you know what? I'll tell you what. Let me throw this question back to you
right.
to answer this, all right? So, you know, when you're playing in this tournament, you're Princeton, all right?
Yep.
So you win on Thursday, all right? You win on Thursday. Your hype is awesome. And then you can play again Saturday. It's almost like a doubleheader, right? Mm-hmm. The other team doesn't have time to really, you know, get film on you, practice for it. Like, you just kind of go, and you're riding that. But the next, like, the Sweet 16, you fly home. You think about it. Right? Like, you're not writing that, you know, just, hey, we're playing great at Most Ohio. Like, now you've got to stop what you're doing, go home, go back. The other team gets to have all the film on you that they want. Like, I'm fascinated to see teams like Princeton, like an FAU,
yeah.
you know, guys like that. Like, how does the week, you know, in between, how does that affect it? So, yeah, like, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I see what you mean, no question. You have time now if you're Creighton to get all that film watched on a number yep. 15 seed. So I get what you mean. But 10 points, that's a massive number considering what Princeton's been able to do, knocking off Arizona in the first
yeah.
round and then dealing with Mizzou. But it's a quick turnaround, and anything in that first weekend is sort of up for grabs. You know that something wild is bound to happen. Talk with Alan Bell, at Alan Bell 247, CBS Sports Line, CBS Sports Digital. The one game that has been watched, and obviously Miami-Houston is probably a massive game that's going to be watched for entertainment purposes as well. But we have Gonzaga and UCLA yet again in the tournament. And that'll be the late game, 8:45 on Thursday, tomorrow night. What are your thoughts here? They last time they played was in Vegas, I believe, and the Zags won 83-63. That was last November. Last tournament game, Zags won an OT on that Jalen Suggs heave. Well, what are your thoughts here? UCLA -1.5.
So, first off, like, this group, these four teams, like, this is the group of death. Arkansas, UConn, Gonzaga, UCLA,
yep.
any one of those teams could come out and go to the Final Four. I'll say this, though. UCLA is playing excellent basketball considering the injuries that they're dealing with here. Gonzaga is statistically playing phenomenal basketball. The problem is that their first two games, you know, they're playing from behind in the first half, and then they pick it up late in the second and pull these wins out. You can look at that good. You can look at that bad. Like, I don't know how to go about that. I'll say I'm going to ride Gonzaga here. I think that their ceiling is just higher. They'll give up some points, but they're averaging 85 points right now, right? Like,
yeah.
you're going to have to score, and UCLA's got great defense. But, dude, defense against teams that score like that, it only holds up for so long. I'll roll Gonzaga here, you know, what, +1.5?
Yep.
And I hate to say it because, like, UCLA is awesome, but, yeah, I'm going to roll Gonzaga here.
Yeah, and not having Jalen Clark has not cost them yet, and it could cost them in a game against Gonzaga, who's a step yep. up in competition. Now, for Alabama, something I've noticed, and really you noticed in the first round, Furman gets the upset, Arizona gets upset. But Alabama, how easy is this sort of for them to waltz right into the Final Four and win their region?
Dude, they've been laid just a golden path, right? Like, and we're not saying anything negative against Alabama. It is what it is. They didn't have anything to do with it, right? But, you know, this team, not only that, but they're playing great. You know, keep an eye on Brandon Miller, you know, in regards to, you know, his health and all that. But, I mean, this team, like, even when the noise outside of basketball gets loud, they play better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the scary part is that, not only do they have this path, they're kind of feeling rested and good. Like, they're smashing people, too. Like, they're, you know, they could get you by 21, 23 and do that to anyone. It's hard to fade them. Like, if you're going to bet a future, like, I'm not saying Alabama's guaranteed to win anything, but if you're not betting them at +350 to win at all, like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
like, this team is just that good, yeah.
Yeah, speaking of which, did you get to see Nick Saban say there's no such thing as wrong place, wrong time?
Yeah.
Well, what'd you think? What'd you think? Direct shot? Or just catching a stray? He didn't mean to do it. Where are we at?
No, Nick Saban doesn't mean to not do something ever. Like, he knew exactly what he was doing. And you know what? I'll say this, man. Look, and again, we're not, you know, not getting into all that of the Alabama basketball team, but you know what? I respect it from Saban. Like, you know what? Like, hey, this university kind of getting dragged through the mud. It's also a cheap pop, too. Like, it's easy to do that. You know what I mean? Like, it's a smart move. But, yeah, he said it. Like, yeah, it's going to be a little weird between him and Oates.
Yeah, I wonder what that relationship looks like. But honestly, it's interesting, though, to me, because he was, what, at the game after Nate Oates said that, I think 4 days after that? So, like, yeah. I that is a cliche thing. You wonder if
it's
it was just sort
win.
Of act, if it was a little bit of an accident. But I think, again, it's still, the messaging still sticks. The messaging's the same.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's a cheap pop, too. Like, it's easy to take that. You know what I mean? Like, it's to make yourself look good, for sure. But, you know, it would be funny if Nate shows up with the national championship and he's like, hey, you know what? Yeah, you haven't won one of these in a little while. Like, I would laugh if he fired back at something like that. It'd be funny.
Now, Alabama, you mentioned it, plus 350 to win it all. What do you like futures-wise, whether it's Final Four, championship game, the whole nine yards? I know a lot of those odds get slashed in half as we get to the Sweet 16, as we get farther into the tournament. But what do you like as far as futures are concerned on the team still alive?
Yeah, so, you know, honestly, like, I think that, like, let's just look at teams that can actually win a national championship. Like, I don't think Michigan State. I don't think Kansas State. I don't think Arkansas. I don't know. I mean, UConn probably could. I don't think FAU. I don't think Tennessee. Gonzaga, UCLA certainly could. And San Diego State, not. Like, I think that you just kind of trail this thing down, right? Like, you look at Alabama, you look at Gonzaga, you know, you still look at Houston. I'm fascinated with Xavier, Texas. Like, who comes out of that one? Like, either of these teams could sneak up. But, yeah, like, I would put money Bama, Gonzaga, UConn, and maybe Houston. Like, I think that, like, you just narrow this thing down. And if you're getting Alabama at plus 350, you could hedge this thing, put equal money on three teams. All right, and now you have three, and you're guaranteed profit if either of those three hit. It's not going to pay out plus 350, but you can kind of give yourself outs here. I think that's the best way to do it.
Understood. Now, you mentioned sort of Houston, Texas, those type of teams, but you also did mention Miami and sort of watch that potential upset against Houston. Do you think that it's worth throwing a little bit of a flyer on Miami to be a Final Four team?
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't hate the play because Miami, like, they can score. Their guards can score whenever the hell they want to. Now, again, their defense is scary, but their rebounds make up for it, right? Like, they're a dangerous team because if you're not ready, they're kind of like Tennessee's defense is a danger to people because it could just, like, it could leave you in a black hole. Miami is the opposite but the same with their offense. Like, if you're not ready to go, they can blow anyone out of the gym at any time. So, yeah, I don't hate it. I wouldn't put up like a full unit.
Right.
I just sprinkle a little bit on it. But it's not a bad play, man, at all. It's not a bad play.
All right, now, last thing on the tournament before I transition to a little bit of NFL offseason, because a lot has transpired since we last talked. Izzo, where are you at on Izzo at this point? Playing Kansas State, who I really love Kansas State. They were an underdog last round. They're able to go get the outright win. They're an underdog again. They're plus 1.5, even though they're the 3 seed against the 7 seed Michigan State. But how do you feel about Izzo getting back to this point, and what do you think his chances are come tomorrow at 5:30?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, Tom Izzo's awesome. Like, I would love to play for that dude. You know what I mean? And, you know, I think that it proves, like, you know, these you know, Hall of Fame-type coaches, like, they show their value in March, man. Like, who thought Michigan State would be in this spot? And they're playing great basketball. Yeah, like, I'm with you on Kansas State, too. Like, they're a fun team, and they've had a gauntlet of a schedule, and they've lasted. You know what? Like, I'm going to roll Kansas State here. I think that they win the game. But, again, it's Izzo. Like, I hate fading him. Like, that dude has – yeah, like, he's made a career off. Okay, you don't believe it? Yeah, we'll do it. But, yeah, I think I'd go Kansas State here.
All right, now let's transition to the NFL with Alan Bell at AlanBell247 on Twitter. Who so far, when you look at the NFL offseason, who do you think has been the big winner thus far? You know, team-wise, is there a player out there that you've really looked at? I think Aaron Rodgers, of course, this Jets move hopefully will happen any day now, but it looks like the Packers are sort of sitting on their hands. But what has really jumped off the page for you that so far this offseason, the NFL?
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, you know, if the Jets can pull off Aaron Rodgers, that's a significant upgrade for them. If the Packers can trade Aaron Rodgers, I think it's a significant upgrade as well. Like, they finally can kind of move on and figure out what they have going forward. Look, I'll say the Dolphins, you know, going against Jalen Ramsey. Look, I get people were all over Jalen Ramsey. Dude, he had to cover, like, two positions last year. Like, his numbers when he was one-on-one were bona fide. Like, this dude is not taking a step back. And that's a great addition for a team that already has, you know, you've got two number one corners and you've got two number one wide receivers. Like, dude, the Dolphins are going to be solid. So, yeah, like, I would kind of throw those in there. I don't know what to think of the Titans just getting rid of everybody. Like, damn. It's weird, but, like, I see what they're doing. You know what I mean? So it's like this could be something that pays off. But, yeah, I would say the Dolphins, dude. Like, they've been ahead of everybody.
Now, full disclosure, super producer Bennett Doyle is a big Titans fan. Sitting right next to me. What do you think ultimately happens here? I mean, do you think a Derrick Henry trade is still up for grabs? I mean, Ryan Tannehill's got a couple of years left on his deal. I don't think anybody's going to really want to go trade for that unless something crazy happened with the Jets and Aaron Rodgers falls through. But is this just full rebuild at this moment? Like, is that the mindset now?
It is. I mean, look at all the moves they've made. Like, they're pretty much all defense except for, you know, Andre Diller. Now, understand what I'm about to say. Like, I love Derrick Henry, but here's the thing. There's no point. There's no offensive line. There are no wide receivers. Like, you're not going to get much in a trade for him, but, like, he's a two-down back. He doesn't play on third down because he doesn't pass pro. Like, you're just setting him up for no chance of success. Like, he needs an offensive line. He needs an offense because teams are just going to say, all right, just put 10 right there. They don't have anyone to throw to. Good luck. Now, with Tannehill, like, I get that fans are ready to move on, especially for the price, but I don't know that you can move him. And you need a quarterback. Like, you do not have a quarterback at all. So, like, you're going to have to keep Tannehill. But with Henry, I just don't know the point of running him out there. And I hate to say it because Derek is awesome, man. But what are you going to do? You know what I mean? Like, I don't see any way that he can have success on the ground because you need other teammates. Like, you literally can't do it by yourself in the NFL.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, in this Titans team, just to think about where they were 2 years ago, number one seed, home field advantage. And I mean, it's just the fall from grace has been ridiculous. I always bring up on this show the ghost of John Robinson's past. It's going to haunt you for at least a couple more years.
100%. And you know what? Look, me and you talk about it all the time. And let me say it. This is what happens when you stop investing in your offensive line. This is what happens.
Yep.
Like, you stop drafting good first-round guys. You draft a guy who can't play. And then you trade your best player, A.J. Brown. You're done. You're absolutely done. Like, you have to keep building your offensive line every year. You cannot stop doing it.
Now, what do you think so far about the quarterback moves that have actually transpired? Derek Carr to the Saints, and we had Jimmy G to the Raiders.
Jimmy G to the Raiders obviously made sense, you know, with the history between him and McDaniels. You know, they still got, what's his name, from Auburn, you know, Stidham in front of him. But I like Jimmy G. Like, he's not too super expensive, and the guy can play if you've got an office around him. You know, Derek Carr to the Saints. I can't hate it. You know what I mean? Because, like, I think that division is open, you know, for somebody to go take it, and he's a solid quarterback. They still have Jameis back there as well. So, yeah, I can't hate it. I don't know the success that it's going to bring, but I like Derek Carr. I like his attitude. The guy's going to work. So, yeah, like, that's kind of a wait and see, you know what I mean? But Jimmy G, that didn't make sense, I get it.
Now, last thing for you, and I always bring up your NFL draft and how much you sort of bet around that, some of the markets and how they play out. Let's start with that number one pick. I mean, who do you think the Panthers are going to take? C.J. Stroud has been mentioned. I know that Bryce Young, I think in Mel Kiper Jr.'s last mock draft, is the pick there. But who do you think the Panthers, after acquiring that pick from the Bears, are going to go after?
Probably Stroud. You know, like, I think he's the safest pick at quarterback because he can kind of do it all. I get, you know, people with Bryce Young talking about his size and things like that. But look, Bryce Young is the exact same size as Russell Wilson, all right? And I'll just say this. Bryce Young is unbelievable at quarterback. Like, if Alabama didn't have him, specifically him, that team wins 5 or 6 games. Like, he masked so many problems that that offense had. I'm a Bryce Young guy. That's where I'd go, but I can't hate the Stroud pick. I think it's Stroud. Like, Bryce could be a risk. Stroud doesn't seem like much risk at all.
Now, we're 1 month and 5 days away from the draft. When do you start delving into sort of the markets of over-under the amount of O-line picked, over-under the amount of quarterbacks, that type of thing, or draft position in general? When do you start delving into that?
So you start doing it now, right? Like, but you're not going to have lines or anything to you know, kind of use to gauge. But what you do is you just start getting notes down of, you know, how many offensive linemen are likely going to be taken, how many wide receivers, quarterbacks, et cetera, right? So you just start doing your homework here. And then once you start seeing the lines come out of over under 6.5, 4.5, whatever those are, that you've got to jump on everybody else, and you can make those picks quickly because the market will move.
Yes,
on
heavily.
Yeah, like, it'll move on you quickly.
Every smoke signal, everything put out there, those markets
all
move.
Of it. They move quick. So it's like, do your homework now, and they'll come out like a week before the draft, and jump. Like, know where you're going to go, know your numbers, and jump on it, and you'll be glad that you did.
Well, let's go ahead and try to get a date all figured out, and we'll bring you on the week of the draft so we can get some of those picks from you. How about that?
I love it, dude.
Yes,
absolutely,
sir.
Man.
Perfect. Sounds good. Alan, appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining.
Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you, man.
Yes, sir. That is Alan Bell, CBS Sports Line, CBS Sports Digital, giving you some NFL thoughts, and mostly, you know, at the beginning of the conversation, giving you some of his favorite picks in the NCAA tournament this weekend.